with what's going on, Howard, in the Middle East, it's absolutely unavoidable. I just can't not ask you about it. I spent, I think, about an hour and a half watching Fox News. God bless the cable company here. They carry Fox News. Before I came on the air, and it looks absolutely awful. I want to get your take on the Middle East, and is this just sort of a big flurry of activity prior to some kind of actual peace, or is that could it be, as Newt Gingrich suggested, the opening flurry of World War III?
It is more likely to be the opening flurry of World War III than it is to be the opening of any kind of peace. There is no opening anywhere in this for any kind of peace right now. And if you want a connection, and there is a connection between what I've been doing with the space community and what's going on in the Middle East has been preoccupying me tremendously. It makes me
incredibly stress-filled. NASA will hold for just a little while.
Well,
I really want your take on what's going on.
Rockets.
Rockets, yeah.
Basically, you've got a proxy war between Iran and the West.
Right.
Israel is doing the West's dirty work. The Iranians founded Hezbollah in 1982. They founded it only 3 years after establishing the Iranian Revolutionary Constitution. The Iranian Revolutionary Constitution says that Islam is dominant over all other religions, and that basically Islam must rule the earth. And it's taken quite a while for Iran to get to the position where it now has mid-range ballistic missiles with a 1,200-mile range, where it now, in all probability, has nuclear warheads. And if it doesn't have them now, the figure we're being given at 10 years, Art, I cannot believe that figure for a minute. If it's 10 months, it wouldn't surprise me.
And if they it wouldn't surprise me either.
The Islamic bomb was first tested in 1998. That's almost 10 years ago. That's 8 years ago. And we know that Pakistan is a Sunni country and that Iran is a Shiite country. But the divisions between Shiites and Sunnis are not so big that the two cannot cooperate. It is very difficult to believe that Iran is operating without nuclear weapons at this point. So
Hezbollah has an obvious presence in the government of Lebanon, or at least they did until most of them were taken back down in Israel.
Right.
Is there a similar presence in Iran in the official government?
You mean a similar presence of Lebanon in Iran? Basically, this is an Iranian-owned and operated operation, Hezbollah.
Right.
Hezbollah, there was a debate when Iran was putting its revolutionary constitution together, and one group of secularists said, it is important that we say, now that we have gained our freedom, that we support the rights of other nations to their freedom as well. But the clerics were the guys who really had the power, and they said, absolutely not. We have a religion that calls for a one-world government, one world under one God, ruled by one law. And as a consequence, it's absolutely incumbent on us to bring Islam to the entire world. Now, in the case of Hezbollah has claims, its head claims to have over 12,000 rockets. That's as of approximately 10 days ago. The reason that Israel was forced to cut off all the roads and cloverleaves, originally I was horrified by that. Why do you destroy a country's infrastructure, for God's sakes? Why do you impoverish a people that way?
And probably because they were used to transport the rockets you're talking about.
Yes, exactly. And tonight there was a report, and it was only an hour ago, that there is a rat line bringing in missiles from Syria anyway. You know that there are extensive bunkers and tunnels underneath Lebanon that Hezbollah has now had from 1982 until today to dig itself in, and to dig itself in with one purpose and one purpose only, to annihilate Israel. But here's the deal, Art. You know that I've spent 30 years or so researching Islam. And over the last year, I've learned how to read the motherlode. That is, I've learned how to read the Hadith and relate them back to the Quran. The Hadith are the eyewitness accounts of Muhammad's life. And they are holy books, just like the Quran is a holy book. And basically, the pattern of Islam from the very beginning, from Muhammad's day, remember, Muhammad led 65 military campaigns. He commanded 65 military campaigns. He personally led 27 of them. And in the words of of the Islamic scholars, he left a total system that included a military system with military strategy. And his strategy was, when he couldn't get a big win, he went after the Jews. He went after the Jews who lived in Medina, the town where he was camped out. He went after one tribe, drove them out of the city, an ethnic cleansing, took all of their goods. This made him a big man in town because he was able to hand out all the riches of the Jews to all those who would follow him. And it allowed him to bring in other tribes as potential allies. The next time he wasn't able to win a battle and wasn't able to bring in a lot of money, that is a lot of clothing, a lot of the things that were valuable at the time, a lot of sheep, a lot of date orchards, he once again went and clobbered another group of Jews. He did this four times. So clobbering the Jews in Islamic military tradition is a prelude. It's a prelude to bigger conquests. Each time he clobbered a Jewish tribe, it was to set himself up for a bigger battle against a much, much bigger enemy. Now, who are the bigger enemies these days? Once you get rid of this little tiny country the size of a fly speck on the global map,
I'm not sure that I'd characterize it that way. It is small geographically, but whatever we do or don't know about an Islamic bomb,
right?
We do know that the Israelis have lots of them buried in the desert.
Yes, absolutely true.
So a question to you would be,
they've been making nuclear stuff for a long time.
That's right. So my question to you would be, the Islamic bomb, aside for a moment, how far will Israel be pushed before they dredge one of these up and use it?
You know, Art, that's a very good question. And I think that Israel would have to be extraordinarily desperate to go to those lengths. I think that Israel would have to feel that it was on the verge of utter annihilation. And even then, knowing the nature, look, I'm Jewish and an atheist. We both know that. But knowing the nature of us Jews, we'd have a lot of moral qualms about using them, even if we were on the verge of extinction.